What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dashboard Podcast. This is episode 5 for July 16th, 2013. And today we have a bunch of topics to talk about. Some of them are a lot bigger than others, but let's just jump right into it. So first of all, I want to talk about the podcast itself. I might have some guests on eventually. So if you are watching this on YouTube, please go ahead. If you want to be on the podcast at some point, let me know. I'm still kind of trying to get some things worked out as far as like websites to host it on and everything. So once I get that worked out, I will have guests, but I just want to know if anyone's interested. So you know what? Better yet, if you want to be on the podcast, just tweet me that you want to be on and I will let you be on if you want. As long as, I mean, if you are well-spoken. I don't want someone that's, I don't know, just going to be nervous and not talk. And I'm just going to be like, so, what do you think about this? Like, I don't know. So, let's go. Let's continue on. Another thing about the podcast. If you're watching this on iTunes, or even if you're watching this on YouTube, if you have an iTunes account, please go onto iTunes and review the podcast. That helps me out, I think. It sure would make me feel better about this podcast if I saw some nice reviews on the iTunes page. So go check it out on there and download it from iTunes if you want, and if you can. I mean, it's a lot better to listen to a podcast, I think, when you're, I don't know, in the car or something, or if you're riding a bike, which riding a bike would be a very strange place to be listening to a podcast, but, you know, some people like to do that. So I guess the more downloads I get, the better. So it's good. And I see on my stats, I'm moving up the gaming podcast and the overall podcast rankings. 32,215 overall, 325 in video games. So just keep downloading, because that more downloads I get, higher that goes up. So that's pretty much it. Just like go onto iTunes and rate 5 stars. I think it's a 5-star ranking. It's not thumbs up and thumbs down. It's like old 5-star YouTube. So go rate it 5 stars. Give me a review. Write a little review. Just say, this is awesome. Please continue making them. That'd be awesome. So let's go on to the actual topic. So first of all, I want to start out with something that doesn't have anything to do with gaming. But this is something I wanted to talk about since it happened. And that is the Zimmerman trial. I don't really talk about too many current events that don't have to do with gaming on my channel and everything. So this might seem a little strange to anyone that's not used to me talking about real life stuff. But I actually paid pretty close attention towards the end to this trial. And it kind of makes me mad that all these people are out there really upset that he wasn't convicted. And these people don't understand how the judicial system works in the United States. They think just because he killed someone, he's automatically guilty of some crime. But they don't understand that you can't be convicted unless there's beyond reasonable doubt. Or wait, would that be the right? If there's any reasonable doubt, you can't be convicted. So if there's no reasonable doubt, I guess beyond reasonable doubt would be whatever. Just I'm stupid. Just go with me. And so if there's any reasonable doubt, you can't be convicted. So that is exactly why he wasn't convicted. I knew from the beginning he wouldn't be convicted. Now, all these people that were standing outside the courthouse, like, oh, this is complete bull. Why are you going free? And let's start a revolution for Trayvon. I mean, maybe they're upset. But I mean, what do they think they're going to be doing there? You think they're going to start some revolution? Or they're going to change how the jury looks at the case just because there's people outside? No. The job of the jury is to look at the evidence presented in the case and take a look at the law that the judge... So before the jury goes into the room, the discussion room, they have to... listen to the judge And the judge tells him, okay, take everything you've heard in the past couple weeks and look at it based on this law. So they looked at the law of murder two. So that's murder one is premeditated. So you would go, you'd be in your house, you'd be sitting there, I'm going to kill this guy today. And you're getting all your stuff ready and you're going to go out and you're going to kill someone. Murder two is it's not premeditated. Or it is, but not really in advance. It's like, or I guess that wouldn't be premeditated. Whatever, just don't listen to me. It's not premeditated. So let's say you just go out into the middle of the street and you're like, nah, I'm just going to kill someone. You just pull out a gun and you shoot someone. That's murder two. So they had to look at murder two at first. And they had to look at to see the evidence that was presented. Does that support murder two beyond reasonable doubt? And I don't think they really thought that it was while they were discussing, because then eventually it was a manslaughter charge was added on later on. And excuse me. So they added on manslaughter, and what manslaughter is, they called it murder three with child abuse or something, or for child abuse. So that wouldn't be as bad of a crime, I'd say. I mean, it sounds like a pretty bad crime. I mean, manslaughter, that sounds a lot worse than murder to me. But whatever, that's just me. So they tried to get manslaughter on him, because I feel like they probably didn't think they were going to get the prosecution wasn't going to get a murder conviction. So they added on manslaughter, and the jury had to think about, well, is this murder or manslaughter or neither? And after, I think, like 16 hours of discussion, not straight through, they weren't sitting there for 16 hours, not like popes where they get locked into, or not popes, cardinals, where they get locked into a room for however long it takes to decide. I forget what they call that in church, but whatever. So after 16 hours, they decided that he was not guilty. And I just don't understand why all these people that have no idea how the judicial system is supposed to work, they say, this is the most shocking case since the OJ case. I saw a newspaper that said, shocking acquittal of Zimmerman yesterday in his case. And to me, I guess they just want to stir the pot some more, because they just want people to get all upset. So they have some more news to talk about. Oh, some riots in the streets today based on that surprising acquittal of Zimmerman. Just like they did the entire time. I mean, like, this case wouldn't have any attention anywhere. No one would know about it. Unless maybe you lived in Florida or something. You lived, like, in the little neighborhood where the whole thing went down. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what it was, because the only reason why anyone knows about this case is because the media turned it into two things. Two things. One was a gun control debate, and the other was a race debate, I guess. Because, what was it, CBS? I think it was CBS or ABC. They edited 911 calls, or one 911 call that Zimmerman did, or called one of Zimmerman's calls to 911 right before it happened. He called up 911. He's like, yeah, there's some suspicious guy walking through the streets right now in my community. And they asked him, okay, what's his race? And he's like, I think he looks black. But the tapes were edited to sound like, there's a suspicious guy walking through my neighborhood, I think he's black. So it made Zimmerman look like he was a racist. And that is, it's very irresponsible. You know, like, it's one thing to take facts and try to twist the facts. Well, not twist the facts, but portray the facts in a certain way to stir the pot of anger. You know, take the tapes and take everything and don't change it, but just show it and say, this is wrong, why did he do this? And that's another thing, to change facts, change tapes, to do all your political needs, or I don't know what I'm saying. the news shouldn't change things to convict a guy. That's what everyone's saying. You know, everyone's saying that the news was trying to convict Zimmerman before the trial even happened. And it's not right. I mean, now I think Zimmerman's actually suing CBS or ABC. I don't know which one it is, but I think he's suing one of those stations, the one that did that, because of that. Because that station made a bunch of people think that he was like this terrible person. And, you know, no one knows what happened. So maybe, I mean, no one knows what happened besides Zimmerman. You know, so you can't just expect the jury to see. I mean, everyone knows that Zimmerman did shoot Trayvon Martin. But no one expects the jury to be like, oh, well, I mean, he did kill someone, so we just have to give him some sort of a conviction. I mean, what are we going to do? Is just let him out on the streets? But that's just not how it works. And anyone that thinks that we should change the court system in the U.S. because of this, this system has been working for 200 years now, 250 years. And now we're going to change it because of one trial that didn't go the way that some people wanted it to go. And now we just have to change our entire system just because of that. It just doesn't make sense to me. And it doesn't make sense why people really care so much. I mean, like, there was people on both sides. There was people protesting in the streets to have Zimmerman be convicted, holding up signs. I mean, I could see if maybe the family of Trayvon Martin did that, but who would go and spend their time making posters and going out into the streets and protesting for someone they don't even know? And maybe that's really wrong to say, but you know what? I'm going to say it anyway because this is my podcast and I can say whatever I want. But yeah, it's I don't understand. I mean, even on the Zimmerman side, the people that like took his side like they were his family members, the people that were like, when the jury came back and told him he was not guilty, were like cheering, like, yeah, he's not guilty. I mean, I was sitting there, I was watching, I wasn't cheering. I was just like, I was right, I knew it. And I don't know Zimmerman, I don't know Trayvon Martin. So as much as I could say, as much as I could lie and say, oh, I really care about this, I really don't. It doesn't affect my life. And the only time it really kind of affects my life is if I turn on the news for some reason and just see all these people talking about George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. But otherwise, it doesn't affect me. And I just wanted to let everyone know that you can't change the court system just to please some people because of this the way this turned out. Oh yeah, and I didn't even talk about the stand your ground law. Everyone's saying, oh, get rid of the stand your ground law. This caused the entire thing. No, it didn't. If you really think the stand your ground law had any effect in this trial at all, then you obviously weren't paying attention to the trial. Because the stand your ground law didn't even come into effect for this. And you think, oh, well, isn't that how he got off? He was able to kill him because of the stand your ground law. No, stand your ground law is a law that says you don't have to retreat. You know, there's some states that say if you are being attacked, if there is any way for you to run away, you got to do it. You got to give that guy that you're about to shoot the common courtesy, I guess, of running away first before you use lethal force. But the problem with this case is that, according to Zimmerman, the only person that was there and came out alive, the only person that the jury can listen to, I mean, I think there was also another witness that saw Trayvon Martin on top of Zimmerman. So that just, you know, that's just self-defense right there. You know, it just shows it's self-defense, because even if this stand your ground law was not there, he still would have got acquitted. And the reason is because if we take Zimmerman's, if we take Zimmerman's word That's not the word I wanted to use. I wanted to use something that sounded smarter, but I'll just use Zimmerman's word. If we take his word for everything that happened and we think that everything that he says is the truth, which it may or may not be, then this is just self-defense. This isn't stand your ground, because if Trayvon Martin is on top of Zimmerman and punching him and slamming his face into the concrete, there's no way he could run away. There's no way that he could just get up and get away from the situation, which a lot of people are saying, oh, he should have just done that. He shouldn't have used lethal force. Well, he couldn't. He had someone on top of him beating him to death. And apparently, Trayvon Martin said something like, you're going to die tonight. So he's getting beaten and his life is being threatened. He has no responsibility of fleeing the scene. There's no legal responsibility of doing that. Everything that he did was 100% legal, and that's why he got acquitted. And I even heard people that say that if you're not guilty, that doesn't mean you're innocent. I don't understand that. What does that mean? So you're saying if you're not guilty, what are you? If you're not innocent, I can't talk. If you're not guilty, if the jury says we find you not guilty, what are you? You're still guilty? No, you're innocent. If you're not guilty, you're innocent. I don't know. It's just, this whole thing is, I hate it. I just want it to be over. I really do. There's something else. Oh yeah, everyone that's saying Zimmerman should go to jail because he was following Trayvon Martin. Well, first of all, he's the community watchman. That's his job. He gets paid, or does he get paid? I don't know if he was a volunteer, but let's say it was his job. He actually got paid for it. Let's say he got paid to just make sure that there was no criminals in this little gated community. Apparently, in that community, for weeks before this happened, there was people that fit the description of Trayvon Martin that were going and stealing things from people's houses. They were burglars, and it was happening a lot in this community. So for Zimmerman to follow Trayvon Martin, it's his job. He was just trying to make sure that he wasn't a burglar. He was going to go ask him, what's the problem here? Do you live here? Or I don't know what he was going to do. I can't say that that's what he was going to do, but it's not even against the law to follow him. You know, people say, oh, he's stalking him, that's illegal. No. There's no right to privacy on a public street. So you could go and you could follow anyone. It's creepy. You could definitely say that's creepy, but still, it's not illegal. So I mean, here you go. One more thing. Let's say Zimmerman stayed in his car and he didn't follow Trayvon Martin. A lot of people are saying that when he was in the 911 call and the 911 operator said, we don't need you to follow him, and he did it anyway, he was breaking the law. No, he wasn't. The 911 operator is not a cop. It's just a person that legally needs to say, we don't need you to do that, because if he does something and he gets hurt, it's their fault. If they say, all right, go after him, go get him, and then he goes and he gets shot or something, they're legally liable for telling him to do that. So they always have to say, for no matter what, the 911 operator has to tell you, we don't need you to do that, even if it's like saving someone's life, like someone is, I don't know, bleeding out on the street or something, they got hit by a car. That's a really weird situation right there that I use. But let's say someone's bleeding out on the street. It's like, I need an ambulance. Oh, an ambulance isn't going to come for 10 minutes. But we don't need you to do anything. You just stay there. Wait for the ambulance. You don't really need to stay there. Go help the person, you know? So even though they say that, he doesn't have to listen. It's just a suggestion. It's not a command. If a police officer told him that, if a police officer was like standing next to him and said, you stay here, don't follow him, I got this, then he has to do that. It's a command from the police. So, you know, like I was saying, let's say he did stay in the car. He didn't do anything. And Trayvon Martin was actually a burglar. Because, I mean, you could say now, oh no, he wasn't, he was just walking home. But you can't just assume things, especially if you're a neighborhood watch guy in an area that was being overrun by crime. Let's say Trayvon Martin was actually a criminal that was going to go and rob a house. He goes, robs a house, I don't know, kills someone in the house. Then Zimmerman is going to be looked at as this incompetent community watchman. You know, I mean, you can't just look back at what happened and think, oh, if I was in Zimmerman's shoes, I would have done something different. You probably wouldn't have. You can't look back and think things differently than the person that was actually there based on what you know now, if that makes sense. It probably doesn't, but if it does make sense, you know what I mean. So that's all I wanted to say. I really got that out. I got that off my chest. I wanted to say this in like a video, but I never made a video because I was just thinking about just doing it on here. So if you have any other thoughts on this, that if you want to debate with me, go ahead, leave a comment in the YouTube video or go leave a review with your thoughts on iTunes or tweet me, and I will definitely debate with you. Because if you really think that he should be going to jail right now, then you obviously have no faith in the court system. I stand behind the court. Whatever the jury says, that's what happened. Because they, unlike if you're sitting there, you're thinking, no, he's guilty. He's guilty. You probably didn't pay attention to the case. You're probably just sitting there just like, yeah, yep, I'm completely against him. I know exactly what happened. You don't know what happened. The people inside of the court, the people that listen to the prosecution and the defense, all their cases, all the evidence, they know the best what happened. I mean, besides Zimmerman. But of all the spectators of this trial, they know the best because they were right there seeing the evidence, seeing the testimonies of witnesses and other people. You know, you can't just sit there and just let emotion get to you and let race get to you. You have to take that all out of the picture to fully understand what happened. And if you don't pay attention to any of this, you don't pay attention to the evidence, you just watch the news and watch them twist the race of Zimmerman to make him look like, or not look like, but make him seem like a white guy and make Trayvon Martin seem like this 12-year-old that was just going out to get some candy and iced tea. He wasn't just going out to get candy. Well, no, not that. He was going out to get candy and iced tea. But he wasn't 12 years old. He was 17. He was bigger and stronger than Zimmerman. And just don't listen to the media. You got to actually get real evidence. You got to watch the actual court proceedings. You can't just listen to the news and look at the pictures of Trayvon Martin who was little and go, wow, how could he kill someone like that? Because that's not what he looked like. They would never show the pictures of him when he's older because that wouldn't make the news story as interesting. That wouldn't make people get so up in arms about this. So if you want to debate with me, go ahead. Leave it in the comments. I'd love to. All right. So that feels good. It feels good to get that off my chest. And wow, 20 minutes in already. That was a good story right there. Really good story. And I know I kind of bounced around and everything. I didn't really lay everything out like I should have, but it's okay. So let's move on. Steam sale, a little bit of a lighter topic. The Steam sale is on, and last week I talked about it a little bit, but it's finally here. And I actually just bought a game just before I started this. I bought Roller Coaster Tycoon, which I might do a playthrough of eventually. But I haven't really paid much attention to the Steam sale. Like last summer, when I had more money, I actually had a job, I paid a lot more attention to this because I didn't really have any games. Last summer when during the Steam sale, that's when I bought most of the games I have in my library. I mean, when I would see a game that was like 75% off, whatever, I might play it eventually. And I think I did I count how many games that I haven't even installed since that last sale? It's a ton. It is a lot. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I thought I had this installed. Whatever, you can't even see this. But I did buy some games. I bought Fez, which is if you've ever seen the movie on Netflix or on Steam, Indie Game the Movie, it's a little film that follows the developers of Fez and Super Meat Boy and shows how, you know, where they were, what they did to make their games and stuff. So it was pretty interesting. And I guess he was finally able to finish Fez because it wasn't finished when I saw the Indie Game the Movie. Like, in the movie, it wasn't finished, and I saw it on Steam, so I'm like, oh, I might as well buy it because it looks pretty cool. And apparently it sold like 105,000 copies in 48 hours on the sale because it was a daily deal. So it was on for 48 hours, and in that daily deal, they sold 105,000 copies. So good for him, you know, because he was really having some pretty big difficulties when I saw Indie Game the Movie. It's a very good movie, especially if you ever want to get into game development. It's really cool. And you know, in that he like goes to PAX and he sets up a booth and the game is like bugged. Like, the build that he had for PAX is just all buggy and it doesn't work, and it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool thing to see. So go check that out, and if Fez ever goes on sale again in this sale, check it out. It's pretty cool. So I bought Roller Coaster Tycoon, I bought Fez, I bought, yeah, what else? I know I bought something else. Anti-Chamber, I made a video with the gameplay from that. It's a very interesting game. It makes me really mad. I'm kind of stuck right now and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to have to figure it out. What's this game? Oh yeah, bought that from the Humble Bundle. If you guys don't know what the Humble Bundle is, it's a very, very cool website, because what it is, it's a bunch of games that go on sale every week or every month. I think they have one that goes on sale every month, and then there's a studio that has a bunch of their games go on there every week. And what you do is you could pay as much as you want on there, and you get to choose how much goes to the developers, how much goes to charity, and then maybe how much goes to the Humble Bundle website. I think, let me check. Like, right now they have a Humble Bundle ebook bundle, or Humble ebook bundle. Yeah, that's it. And it's a bunch of books I've never seen before, so I don't know. I don't really care much. So like, you choose how much you want to pay, and I'm going to go to the weekly sale here. So you need to spend a certain amount to get a certain amount of games. So you can't just spend a cent and get like six games, because there's seven games on here. So you have to buy, I don't know how much exactly you have to buy. Oh, here we go. Pay more than an average of $4.61 to unlock these two extra games. So you could get five of them. But if you want to get two extra ones, you have to spend over $4.61. So, I mean, most of the time when I get these, I spend around $10. I mean, the games, they're probably worth more than that, so I kind of feel bad not spending that much anyway. But $10 is more than most people, so I kind of feel good about that. But it's really cool. It's worth it. You get Steam keys for the game, so you don't need to like just download them. I hate not having them on Steam. You know, whenever I have to buy a game, I always check for Steam. Like, I used to go on Amazon and buy games because most of the time they would have sales too that were pretty decent. And there's some games that were on Amazon that weren't on Steam. And I have some games just randomly spread out on my PC somewhere that I just don't play because it's hard to find them. But with Steam, if I get a Steam key, just have it right there in the Steam library. It just makes it so much easier. You know, I mean, if you're a game company listening to this somehow, don't make a new launcher. It's just so stupid. Just put it on Steam. Please, just make it easier for everyone. Like, one of the reasons why I don't really play much Battlefield 3 is because I just hate Origin so much. I open it and then it's like, oh, you want to open it. So let's open it every time you start up your PC. That sounds good. I don't like that. So that's the Steam sale. Go check out my Steam strategy video if you want to figure out when to buy games. Steam sale strategy. Yeah, you just look up Steam sale strategy, and my video is up top, and it says official. What is this? What does official mean? Hold on. What does official mean? That sounds pretty cool. I don't know. That's... It says like a... You know how like there's... On videos it says like HD, a little HD box, a little new box if the video's new. Mine says official. Mine's like an official source for Steam strategy. Let's see if you look up Steam sale, does it come up? It does, but you gotta scroll down to the bottom of the page. It's not all the way up there. But thank you guys for watching it. And thank you everyone that subscribed from that video and still comes back for some more videos. I thank you so much. So that's pretty much it with the Steam sale. Let's move on. All right, so the Xbox One. There's some more news coming out with the Xbox One right now. Apparently, first of all, Microsoft's going to hold a press conference at GamesCon 2013. And GamesCon is like a European game conference. I would consider it like PAX, kind of, but for Europe. Is there PAX for Europe? PAX Europe. I think there isn't there. I don't think there is PAX in Europe. PAX goes international in 2013. Okay, never mind. Oh, there's a PAX in Australia, but not in Europe, I don't think. So GamesCon's like the PAX for Europe. And in GamesCon, there's going to be another press conference, just like in E3. So what they're saying is that because of the community getting all upset that because they went back on their... So first, the community was upset about their original plans for the Xbox One. And everyone's like, oh, this is so stupid. I'm not getting an Xbox. And they're like, okay, we'll get rid of the things that you don't want. We're not going to have a DRM and all that other stuff. I forget what it was. So you still have to have a Kinect, which is stupid. But so they're like, okay, let's get rid of the DRM. They get rid of it, but they also have to get rid of like the family share and everything. And everyone's like, oh, why'd they go back on what they were going to do? We don't respect them anymore. And they're like, okay, all right, well, we might go back and we'll give you the family share, which the family share looks really cool. Because the thing is, I don't want to have to, like, me and my brother, we sometimes share games, like Halo 4. We both didn't get our own copies because we know that we're not probably going to play Halo 4 that much. As much as you know, Halo 4 is a great game, I'm not saying it's a terrible game, I'm just not a big Halo fan. So we don't get two copies. I mean, we used to get two copies of Call of Duty. Me and him both got our own copies because we used to play that game a lot. I don't really play Call of Duty much anymore, so I don't think we're going to do that anymore. But with the Xbox One, if we both had Xbox Ones, we could just go and get one copy. I could play it when I want, he could play when he wants, and we don't have to spend $120 on two copies of the games. So that's a pretty good deal in my book. I like that. I hope they come back with that. I think, let's see, what does it say here? Oh yeah, they're also very disappointed in how they portrayed their Xbox. They think that they have to talk more, and they don't like how they... I can't talk to them, sorry. They don't like how they just kind of went out and went like, yep, these are our features, you better just deal with them, or don't buy an Xbox. You know, everyone was getting all upset about that interview with Major Nelson and like Angry Joe the Gamer, I think that was his name. He did like an interview with Major Nelson, he's like... Angry Joe is just like, I think that's his name. If I'm wrong, let me know. But let's just say his name is Angry Joe. So Angry Joe's like, I heard that it's really easy to just turn off the DRM like the flip of a switch. And then Major Nelson's like, grabs the microphone out of his hand and goes, "Are you on the game developing team? Huh? Are you on the game developing team? No, you're not. So you better not say that it's that. It's so easy," or something like that. Something like that. It's not exactly. I don't know word for word. I don't have a script up here. Tell me what to say. It's just something like that. So people were getting all upset about that. And I think that's what this guy's talking about. The chief product officer, Mark Whitten. That's his name. The chief marketing or the chief product officer for Xbox or for Microsoft. Talked about how the company hasn't communicated the benefits of the Xbox One enough. And the family sharing plan could return eventually, maybe. So that is good for people that will probably get the Xbox One. And as much as I didn't like Microsoft and how they did everything with the Xbox One from when they first announced it until now, I'm starting to change my opinion. You know, because I mean, right now it just seems like they've got a wake-up call from all the protests and petitions and everything, because it was like a petition on change.org for Microsoft to reinstate its controversial Xbox One policies. I feel like right now, after they got their wake-up call, they're kind of just changing their ways to listen to the community and put in the things that are good about the Xbox One and take out the things that are bad, instead of just throwing out a bunch of features and going like, "This is what the Xbox One is, just deal with it." They're going like, "Okay, they don't like these, let's take them out." And it's like, "All right, can you put this back in? We like this." It's like, "Okay, we'll try to figure out how to put this one back in." And they're just gonna, by the time the Xbox One comes out, they'll form this amazing system. I mean, that's what I'm hoping they'll do. I hope they can just continue just forming the Xbox One. I hope they don't just maybe add in this family thing and it's like, "Okay, that's it. No more changes now. This is the Xbox One. If you want it, buy it. Otherwise, goodbye. Nice knowing you. Go get a PS4 or a PC. I would suggest the PC, but you know, they're not just doing that. They used to. They're trying to be more community friendly, and I like that. I mean, that's what these previews are for. I mean, also for marketing, it's also for just to get people excited. But because people aren't excited, they show these systems off, and then they go, "What do you want to see? What do you want removed? What do you want added to this system to make it the best it could be?" And I like it. You know, I hope they continue forming this system to be the best it could be, and maybe it'll, by the time it releases in, what, November, I think? By the time it comes out in November, it will be pretty good. You know, maybe it could surpass the PS4. Who knows? I'm still going to be sitting here on my PC. My PC's still going to be better than everyone else's consoles, but if you really want to get excited about the upgrade, good for you. But I'll be here, probably upgrade my video card eventually, and I'll be right back up to the top, because right now my system is falling behind. Not gonna lie, when I bought this in 2011, it was top of the food chain of PCs, and now it's becoming obsolete. So I gotta upgrade. It's still decent, it can still run everything. Like Far Cry 3 doesn't run as well as I'd like it to, and there's some other games too, but for the most part it still runs pretty well. But I just gotta upgrade some things. It'll be better than the new consoles. Even though the consoles are supposed to be the best PCs out there when they come out, they're not gonna be. They never will be. And yeah, I mean, until, like, I could see why they don't let you customize your, like, Xbox. And because they want the developers of games to be like, "All right, what do we got to work with? Just give us the specs and we'll make the game to work, to be optimized for this system right here." So if they go like, "Okay, the Xbox One is, it's customizable. You could put whatever parts you want into it, and it's yours. You don't have to worry about, I don't know, getting a console ban if you put in a new video card or anything." But let's say if they did that, like I said, developers would be like, "Okay, so what are we gonna do? How are we gonna make, what are we gonna do to make this game work on everyone's Xboxes. If some people have really good video cards, other people have factory. What is the word I'm looking for? I don't know the word, but the video card that comes with the Xbox. Now, right now, like, I can't talk, so I'm forgetting some words that I probably should know to make myself sound edumacated. But oh yeah, some people have aftermarket stuff, other people won't, and they just won't know what to do. So it's better just to have one system that's not completely up to par with the newest PCs, just so the developers can be like, okay, well, we have this to work with, so let's make it work on this and just make sure it works fine. So, you know, I see why they do it, but my PC will always be better. It's up to me to make it the best it could be so it could work for the games. You know, the developers can make it work however they want, and then it's up to me to go get the parts I need to run the games that come out. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for Microsoft scandal news. So we'll just wait for GamesCon 2013, which I think is like in August or something, end of August, and you will find out what will happen with the Xbox One. I'm sure they're going to probably release some new information there. Really quick note, I wasn't actually going to talk about this, but I see this in the side stories for this GameSpot news article I'm reading. Rockstar is hiring PC porters to bring their newest and best titles to PC, which that makes me excited, because first of all, GTA 5, I don't think it's supposed to come out. Yeah, it's not going to come out for PC right away, and I'm kind of upset about that. I don't want to play GTA 5 on Xbox. I just don't. As much as it looks like a fun game and all, and a really cool game, I don't want to play it on Xbox. I mean, I'm willing to wait for GTA 5 to come out on PC. I mean, right now they say it's up for consideration. Ooh, what does it say? Latest titles currently available and announced for PC include 2010's Red Dead Redemption. I want Red Dead Redemption on PC so bad. I love that game so much. I love it. It's gonna be amazing if they put it on PC. You know, just bring the specs, not the specs, the graphics up, and sell it on PC, and they'll make some more money. Why not do it? You know, I would definitely buy it. I'd buy it for $60. You know, I love Red Dead Redemption. It's just a fun game. So, yeah, hopefully. GTA 5 comes out on PC too, because right now it's only for Xbox 360 and PS3. And if they do put it on PC, please, Rockstar, if you're watching this, don't use Microsoft, whatever it was, Microsoft Live or something. It wasn't Xbox Live, it was like Microsoft Live. It was so stupid. It wasn't working. I could never get into a game with friends on GTA 4. Just because of the way that they do it. And I hate how you have to have your phone in single player to play multiplayer. I wish they would just have a single screen in multiplayer, like on the main menu for multiplayer. You just click multiplayer, go find a server. But every single time I want to play multiplayer, I have to start up the single player again, and I always forget to save. And when I do, I sometimes have to, I don't know, wipe my hard drive clean for whatever reason. And then the save's gone, and I have to go back to the beginning of the game. I gotta drive Roman through the streets to his house, then bring him to some gambling place, and then he gives me a phone, and then I can play multiplayer. I almost memorized every line in the beginning of the game because of how many times I played it. And every time I do it, I'm still not able to play multiplayer because it's broken, and I don't like it. So please don't bring back Microsoft Live or whatever it is, something like that. My PC's frozen. That's not good. Okay, it's still recording. No, it's not there. Whatever. Next topic. Evo livestream draws 1.7 million views on Twitch. Now, I might be saying it wrong, Is it Evo or is it EVO? Is it like an acronym or I don't know. I think it's Evo. But anyway, Evo, if you don't know what it was a tournament for, was it Street Fighter? Was it just Street Fighter or was it all fighting games? Because I only watched a part of it and it was just Street Fighter. But I think I only saw the end of it, like the final match. And that, I don't know, like I've always been really bad at fighting games. Like I can't play a fighting game and hold my own against anyone because I'm just so bad. I can't do it. And oh, apparently an American Idol winner placed 257th at the Super Smash Bros. Tournament. What's his name? I think that guy looks familiar. Taylor Hicks. I think I remember watching. I used to watch American Idol, and I remember he won. Yeah, I remember that guy's face. I guess his singing career didn't go out so well, so he became a professional Super Smash Bros. Player. Nah, I'm just messing with you guys. I don't know if he's probably not professional. Probably just went there to watch and somehow placed at a pretty decent spot. I don't know. He's like a whole like photo shoot. Like, you know, those things like when actors and actresses are taking pictures on a red carpet or after a football game or some sports event, they have like press conferences and in the back. There's like the whole sheet with like NFL and then like whatever team. It's like that, but he has Taylor Hicks in this tournament. He has like his thing set up, so he probably did it just as a publicity stunt. Yeah, I don't know why else he would have that. Just like, oh yeah, I won American Idol. Let me just set up a whole sheet in the middle of this tournament room to take pictures with random people. Most of them probably don't want to take a picture with me. So I watched a little bit of this event, and to me, in my eyes, someone who doesn't play any fighting games, really, to me, it didn't look like they were that great. Like, it was like one of the final games. They didn't look amazing, like the players, but I didn't really know what they were doing. Like, it just kind of seemed like they would, like, shoot little fireballs at themselves, and they would just jump, dodge it, and then the other guy would shoot one, and they would jump. But I mean, I guess maybe that's a little bit more strategic than what I would have done. I probably would have ran up just punching the air, just walking towards him, just keep punching, and then I would just get knocked out because I don't know how to play. So that's what I thought about the live stream, but 1.7 million views. That is a ton of views. And people say that League of Legends gets a lot of views. 1.7 million. I guess that's probably over the course of the entire thing, but still, 1.7 million, that's a ton of viewers. That is a ton. And I forget where I saw this. I had like a... let's see. Sorry for this, like... quiet. Alright, I can't find it, whatever. Can't find it. But I had like a thing open with it. Oh, here we go. It was right below the other article. Okay, here we go. According to Twitch.tv, the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 tournament attracted a maximum of 144,848 concurrent viewers, followed by a Super Smash Bros. Tournament, which drew in 134,000 viewers. The Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition tournament amassed 125,000 concurrent viewers or users at its peak. So, I guess you add that all together, you got 1.7, well, not all that, that doesn't add up to 1.7 million, but 1.7 unique viewers, that is a ton. That is so many viewers, and I can't believe that they got that many. Like, it goes to show you that esports is growing, and one day, I think before I die, and before most of you die, it will be an actual sport on TV. It's just going that direction. And one thing I forgot to actually write down for one of my topics was League of Legends players are actually being viewed by the U.S. government as professional athletes. So when they go overseas, they get visas, just like athletes do. And that is pretty insane. Let me see if I can find the article while I'm talking. But just now that the government is actually viewing these gamers as professional athletes, it seems weird to me. But at the same time, it's like, it's really cool because it just goes to show you how it's growing. It's really far back. I thought I just saw this. I had to make money with Steam cards. You make like a couple dollars, but you know, it's still something. Oh, here we go. U.S. government recognizes League of Legends pros as professional athletes. So, Alan explained how the decision came to be. This is a lengthy process. We had a lot of people fighting for this, and it wasn't something that happened overnight. It is constant back and forth of like, show us more proof. Is this realistic? And that sort of thing. Eventually got to the point where they were like, okay, we have no reason to say no. This is legitimate. So they're like professional athletes. They're not just some random gamers that are just going to some tournament arena or venue to just play a game and then come back home. They're like professional athletes. They get visas to go overseas and whoops, hit my mic. Sorry. And pros now be able to come to the U.S. on working visas, which will make it considerably easier for international players to appear in tournaments. The United States government recognizes League of Legends pros as professional athletes and award visas to essentially work in the United States under that title. So it's not really the problem of American League of Legends pros. It's like the ones that come from Europe and Asia to come over and play. Because they have the big world championship the 16th of September of this year, which that's actually the first tournament I watched of League of Legends that actually got me into the game, because I watched them like, oh, okay, looks like a pretty fun game, because like, I don't know, like I watched some of the LCS from like that's going on like now, and it seems really boring when they're just sitting in like a studio and there's no one there and it's quiet besides for the commentators going crazy. The times I really like to watch it and really just watch any type of live stream of games is when there's a big crowd watching the game too, because just to hear the crowd go crazy, like I remember watching this video, I forget what the video was called, it was like Dota 2 crowd reaction. Let's see. Oh yeah, look up on YouTube right now. Pause this. Go look up on YouTube if you're at a computer. Dota 2 crowd reaction. And it's a view of the crowd, like a camera up on the stage pointing out at the crowd. And you could just hear the sound from the game. And you could hear the sound of like the commentators like going like, oh, there's a gank going on. There's a gank. Oh, actually, the first one is just the crowd. The one below that is, it's called the play. And it has like a multi-cam. It shows the two teams. It's like four little screens in the video, and one shows the game, one shows the crowd, one shows one team, one shows the other team, and you just see everyone's reaction at the same time. And I don't know if this play was really good. Probably, I think they like killed everyone on the other team. Maybe they were coming from behind or something. And you know, you can see one team just going all crazy, like, "Yeah, we're doing this." The other team just getting all upset, and the crowd's standing up and cheering, and then the commentators are going insane. And it's a pretty cool video. So when I watch like a live stream of like League of Legends or something, I like it better when there's a crowd going absolutely insane at the game. You know, I don't like when it's just a silent studio and there's just some commentator screaming into his mic just like, oh, this is insane. I like it better when you could hear the crowd in the background. You could hear the energy just go up, like when, especially I remember watching this one League of Legends game. I forget when it was or who it was that was playing. I'm like raising my hand up in the air right now. I don't know why. There was like it was some game convention or maybe some MLG event, and there was a whole big crowd, and the teams were up in this huge stage, and the crowd was huge, and one team came back from like completely behind. The game looked like it was over right away. And they came back and won. As they were like winning more and more fights and getting more and more kills and taking down objectives, the crowd was just getting louder and louder. And it's pretty cool. It is. It's just it's a lot better when there's a crowd. And when I was watching the League of Legends Season 2 Championship, before I even played the game, before I even knew how to play the game, just watching like the crowd and like the stage they had there, it was like really cool. It was like an outdoor stage, like the state they had, like there was like the stage and this little like indent of this building or something, and then there was a whole crowd sitting outside, and it was just a really cool stage. Like the desks where they sat down on the computers like turned, and that was like the time when one of the teams cheated and like turned around and looked up at, like, because they had like the big screen so that people could see the game too. It's not just the players. So on the big screen, it shows like where everyone is. Like on your own screen, if you ever played League of Legends, it has a little map and it only shows your teammates. But on the big screen, it shows everyone's. It shows everyone in the game. So I'm not sure how they do it. I don't know if they have a delay or something on the like one that's shown to the crowd. Probably not, because it just seems like once the teams start to celebrate, that's when the game ends on the main screen too. So I don't think there's a delay. And there was like the one of the teams, one of the players was just kind of turning around, looking back up at the screen, looking to see where they are. It's like, okay, guys, he's right over here. It's like, where's he going? Oh, he's going over here. Let's go get him. So it was kind of cheap. So I mean, as long as they kind of like put something to, like an overhang. If they put them in like a little box. Have you ever seen those videos where like at MLG events they have them in like a box so they can't see anything? And I guess they probably make it soundproof too, right? Because I can't imagine, like, because like the commentators, they have their loud microphones screaming into the microphone at the event, like live at the event. It's not just for the live stream. And like, how could you not hear what the commentator's saying? It's like, oh yeah, they're gonna go get this objective right now, and then the player's like, oh okay, let's just go stop them then. So I guess either they have like some soundproof glass, or maybe their headsets are specially designed, like maybe like shooting headsets. You know, if you ever shot a gun, you know, the headset that you wear, it blocks really all most of the sound, really loud sounds. Like if someone's talking to you right next to you, you could hear them. But if a gun was shot next to you, I guess it's the high frequency. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to say the loud noises it blocks. So I'm just assuming that the headset blocks the sound somehow. But yeah, that's pretty much it with gaming news. Well, that's all the gaming news I have. So I'm going to talk about myself for a little bit, and then we'll wrap this up because it's almost at an hour. And so I've been training for a triathlon. If you ever done triathlon or ever heard of a triathlon, you swim and you bike and you run. And I know this is probably not too interesting, but if you made it all the way through, if you made it an hour into this, you probably don't mind. So I want to talk about this for myself. So I've done a couple of these, but there were kids ones like a couple of years ago when I was like younger, and now I want to do like a full blown one. And I have about a month and a week until my race comes. And I'm just continuing to train. And I've completely changed my whole lifestyle because of this. You know, like, you hear a lot of people say, like, I'm trying to lose weight, let's say. Like, let's say someone's really overweight and like, all right, I want to lose weight, but the problem is, I've tried to lose weight before, and every time that I stop the diet, I just go right back to where I was before. The problem is probably the diet they were eating is not an actual diet. They were probably eating like Nutrisystem or what's the other one? It's like Nutrisystem, and then the one with the guy, like the football player, the old football player. He's like, oh, I was fat and I was ugly. And then I ate, oh, I guess that was Nutrisystem. So they ate Nutrisystem, and apparently they lost all this weight, or they used diet pills and they lost all this weight. And that works, but you just don't change your lifestyle. You have to change the way that you do things. And that's what I've done. I've completely changed what I eat, what I do. Like I exercise every single day. But not just like go out and play some football or something. I either swim, bike, or run every single day, or sometimes I do multiple things. and I eat 6 meals a day. Because here's the thing. If you're trying to get into shape, what you got to do is you got to trick your body into thinking that you're going to always have enough food, or it's always going to have enough food to keep you going. So you can't just go and you can't just eat 3 meals a day, 3 huge meals a day, because then your body's going to be like, all right, well, I'm not going to get another meal for another 6 hours, so I might as well store this all into fat. And that's basically what happens. So you got to trick your body into thinking you're constantly going to be getting energy throughout the entire day so that it doesn't store anything, so it just burns it all. So you just get all this energy, burn it all, and that's what your metabolism is. It just burns all the energy, and then you don't store anything, so then you could go ahead and lose weight. So what happened to me was, or so far what's happening to me, is that I'm starting to change the way I think about what I eat. Like before I did this like this diet, I would drink like Snapples all the time instead of water, and I would eat like sweets and just like whatever. I'm a teenager. What's gonna happen to me? I'm not some like 40-year-old guy that's it's gonna go right to my gut. But now I really feel guilty about eating some things. Like I'm trying to make Sunday my rest day, because when you're working out, you can't work out every single day. Because for me, I try to work out every day of the week, and then by the time I get to like Sunday, I'm achy, I can't do anything, so I just take that as my rest day. And most of the time they say you should have a day where you just spoil yourself. You eat sweets, you don't really care about working out or anything, just so you have that, you just ease that or soothe that temptation to eat junk food. And I tried to do that. I ate a little square of a brownie, like maybe like an inch, a squared inch, just an inch on each side, just a little tiny square of one. And I felt really guilty about that. I really did. Like, I felt like, oh man, look at all this running I'm going to have to do to burn that off now. And it was just a tiny little square. So now I feel like once I'm done with this race, and once I get into better shape and I do this race and I'm done and I'm not really training anymore, I won't go back to the way I was before. Just kind of eating whatever I want, not doing anything, drinking really sweet drinks. Like, here's the thing, especially for the demographic that I'm trying to reach, my audience. Most of you, I'd say, out there are gamers. Maybe some of you just want to listen to me talk and you don't even know anything about gaming. I would say most of you probably drink energy drinks, soda, Gatorade, you know, that kind of stuff when you're gaming, which it's good to give you energy if you're trying to do like an all-nighter or something, but that's not what you should be doing. If you're a gamer and you, like I said, you do what I used to do, like what I said I did, just drink like sweet drinks all the time, eat junk food, and you want to get into shape, you just gotta go out there and do it. You know, you can't just sit there and you can't just think, well, I'm too lazy to do this. I don't really care that much. Who cares about looks? If you really want to change the way that you look, you gotta completely change your lifestyle. You gotta go out there. You gotta do things. The first thing you could try to do is you could try to just drink water, because that's all you need. You don't need all that other stuff that's in those drinks. So, well, Gatorade's good for you. It has electrolytes and all that. The only time I drank Gatorade in the past like 6 months is when I got food poisoning, because, you know, all the electrolytes and all that stuff, the salt in it, it helps you. So that's the only time I ever drank it, and I felt guilty about it. Even when I was just puking my brains out, I felt guilty about drinking Gatorade. And, you know, the first thing you could do, I mean, before you even start running or eating a strict diet, you could just try to drink just water and just do a little bit of an exercise every day, and that's just going in the right direction. So probably most of you don't want to hear about this, especially since I'm a gamer. What do you want to hear about health advice from a gamer? So I think that's pretty much it. I'm pretty much done with this podcast for this week, and if I just go for another minute or so, I'd be over the time that I did next week. So that's what I'm going to do, because I have OCD. That's one thing I do when I'm training. I do, like, let's say I'm swimming. I'm really kind of into the whole idea of endurance sports now. And I've always kind of been into that because of my OCD. But like I swim like half a mile for like 3 days. I go like, okay, I'm swimming half a mile. So now I gotta move up. I gotta go to a full mile. So I get to the half mile point and I'm like, well, I'm already at half a mile. Let's just continue going. And I get to a mile and then do that for a couple days, move up, and just I gotta keep increasing my distance every single time, or else I just sit there and I regret it. You know, there's times when I'm like running and I'm like, should I just go home now or should I just keep going so that I'm not sitting and thinking, oh, well, I didn't go any further than I did last time. And that's just OCD. And even though it's really hot and I might like pass out from like a heat stroke or something if I run for like 10 miles or something, which will never happen. The farthest I ran was 4 miles. And I don't know. My OCD just kind of gets the best of me sometimes. But that's pretty much it. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, if you're still listening, please leave a rating on YouTube for the video. And if you have an iTunes account, please go and rate this podcast 5 stars. Just look up on iTunes, the dashboard. It's on there. If you didn't even know about it, if you are watching this on YouTube and next week you want to download it on your iPod and just, I don't know, listen to it while you're playing Minecraft or something, which is what I do all the time, go ahead. Look up the dashboard on iTunes and just go to the podcast, because it comes up with like music and all that and apps. Just scroll onto the podcast thing and the little dashboard icon, the little stupid like crumpled up piece of paper that doesn't make any sense to the name of this podcast. It has nothing to do with the Xbox dashboard. It has nothing to do with like a dashboard of a car. Just a crumpled up piece of paper. Doesn't make much sense. But just go to that and you can see, just click on it. There's a little rating thing. You can download it. You can subscribe to it. It'll download automatically every time I upload it to iTunes, and just leave a rating, leave a review, and that'd make me very happy. So thank you everyone for watching, and until next week, I'll see you all later. Goodbye.